Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
My. What a day to be able to rejoice and give glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I'm so honored to be here. I just feel like I'm at home. One way that you know that you're at the right church is when it feels like home. This feels like home. It really does. I'm so honored to be able to be here. You guys are so blessed to be up under such blessed leadership of such a genteel, humble, yet bold and courageous leader like Pastor David and Kim Blunt. What gifts from God that come from his hand into ours. I hope that you appreciate and celebrate the gift and that you never, ever take them for granted, because they are indeed a gift from God. And it never ceases to amaze me. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a living organism. It is not dead. It is not stagnant. It is alive. It is full of energy. It is full of truth. It is full of grace. And this is who and where we are today, and we celebrate. I just commend you today on 40 years. My goodness, you can't do 40 years as an accident. That's what I call greatness, whenever you're able to sustain something over a protracted period of time. Fame comes in a moment. Fame comes in a moment. But greatness only comes over time. You cannot be great overnight. You can be famous overnight. I mean, TikTok famous, Instagram famous, Facebook famous. You can get, you know, have a little video that goes viral, and you'll be famous overnight until somebody else comes out with another viral video in another few days. Fame comes overnight, but greatness only comes over time. And here's the good news, the absolute good news. That's the great thing about Church on the Rock. You come here for good news. I don't have any bad news to share with you today. All that I have is a book in my heart full of good news. And the good news is that God is faithful, and every morning we can depend upon his faithfulness. This is not coincidental. I mean, what we have in the bibliography of the text of Scripture, it's a book that was written by 40 different authors over 1,500 years, and yet they all pointed to the same Jesus, prophesying about the one who would come. And they begin to tell us about him in various places. We see him show up. You know, I mean, he's Abel's sacrifice, Noah's rainbow, Abraham's ram in the thickets, Isaac's whale and Jacob's ladder and Judah's scepter and Moses' rod and Elijah's mantle and Elisha's staff and Gideon's fleece and Samuel's horn of oil and David's slingshot and Isaiah's figs and Hezekiah's sundial and Peter's shadow and Paul's handkerchiefs and aprons and Stephen's signs and wonders. From Genesis to Revelation, he comes, the Bible says, in the volume of the book. You can't write a volume overnight. You cannot write a volume overnight. It takes time. That's why it blessed me to see like a John Mason. He's written how many books? 33. That's a volume. You can't do that overnight. That's the work of a lifetime. And here's the good news that I came to tell you. We're in the fourth quarter of the year. The fourth quarter is where the games are won. Yes. I hope you're getting ready in the legacy offering to be able to finish so strongly in the fourth quarter, because that's where the games are won, in the fourth quarter. It is amazing that what God did in the life of the incredible shepherd Moses didn't start until his fourth quarter. He was 80 years old when he started that. Can you imagine being raised in Egypt for 40 years and then spending 40 years in the wilderness without hearing one word from God? And then at 80 years old in your fourth quarter, now he shows up in a bush and gets your attention and says, "Hey, I got a little something for you to do. Got a little assignment for you, Moses." And then from 80 to 120, and the Bible says that when he went to sleep up there on the mountain at 120, that his natural force was not abated. That was a strength that was in him. He finished strong. He finished strong. He finished strong. Listen, you're in your fourth quarter now. I'm in my fourth quarter. Pastor Blount, he's in his fourth quarter. John Mason, in the fourth quarter. We're in the fourth quarter. And in the fourth quarter, that's where the games are won. This is not the time to dial it down. This is the time to come out with your magnum opus, your great work of life. Your best work can come after all of the experience of everything that you've been through, out of every valley experience, out of every low place, out of every failure. I mean, it is your failures that teach you your wisdom. I'm so glad today that we're in the fourth quarter. I get to celebrate with a church that's been able to make it to the fourth quarter. Too many have been tapping out in the first quarter, but you're in the fourth quarter. And it doesn't mean that it's ending. It means that you're setting it up for a new set of players to come on the scene. And I'm just telling you, this is an exciting, exciting, exciting time to be alive. I'm so excited to be able to be here with you because God is up to something. And this thing that God is up to is really called legacy. Because legacy is not merely about you. It's about what you set in motion that will outlive you. It's not so much about the past, which we celebrate God for everything that he's done in the past. But the way that legacy works as it relates to the past, it's the rearview mirror in the car. Your future is the windshield. And as you'll notice, the windshield is considerably larger than the rearview mirror. And that means that you spend a bit of time reflecting, looking back over every good thing that God has done. And you can ram your car into something and tear something up if you don't use your rear view. It's about the word respect. Respect means to look back. It bothers me when the younger generation lacks respect because they're not looking back at people that sacrificed for them to be where they are. When they had to stay up with them when they were sick at night, when they had to do things for them that they couldn't do for themselves. When you respect, you know, you look back. And anybody who is disrespectful has simply failed to look back and to realize I didn't get here by myself. When I have stepped up today, I'm on a platform today that I didn't build. I respect the platform. I respect the blood, the sacrifice, the prayers, the intercession that is going on into this place. I step into a platform where prophetic words have been spoken over this house that pertain to your very lives and your children's lives and your grandchildren and people after you. I've stepped into an atmosphere of the glory of God, and I have respect for a platform that I get to stand on that I didn't build. I look back and I salute my God for 40 years. 40 years. That's putting some time in 40 years. But I'm so glad that it's not like working for the corporate world where you're just gonna go watching Toodaloo and just fade away into the sunset. But no. We get to be able to hand things off and to multiply. It's not a slowing down. My goodness, it is so encouraging to see what Pastor David and Kim are doing. They don't have any breaks. It's not a slowdown. It's a buildup. There's always a buildup before there's a breakthrough. And I'm just here to tell you that God is up to something. He's up to something. When you find greatness, greatness is about being able to maintain a continuity and change together. Continuity and change. It is amazing that there are some big things like dinosaurs. I was out in Utah, and they had a place there where they have footprints and bones of dinosaurs that roamed here many years ago. But all of the dinosaurs, though they were big, they are now extinct. Do you know why the dinosaurs are extinct? Because they had no ability to be able to adapt to a changing environment. Now, Church on the Rock is a dinosaur, but it is not on the brink of extinction by a long shot. You know why? Because you guys have been adapting to change. My goodness, when I get back, I'm going to see if I can get on my desk and dance the way y'all open up the service today. My goodness, you're talking about adapting and making things relevant. Can you imagine when all that we had years ago was a handheld microphone and an old leather Bible that we could stand up and preach, and now television cameras and internet and digital giving and all of these different things that have expanded in more ways than we can even count now, and food trucks and productions and all of this. Can you imagine what our great-grandparents would have thought the way that you guys have reimagined church? You are setting yourselves up for life and life forevermore. And so I'm just glad to be able to be in a living, thriving, growing, adapting environment, one that knows how to adapt without compromising. You see, because in legacy, with legacy, you have to know what to continue and what to change. And if you change what you should continue, then you destabilize towards your future. If you change what you should continue, you will destabilize towards your future. And then if you continue what you should change, you make yourselves then irrelevant. So it's a delicate balance of knowing how to maintain this tension between continuity and change. But I think that what gives you the edge is that you guys have the Holy Ghost. And there is a wisdom that comes from God by having the Holy Spirit to let you know when it's time to go in and make changes, and when you need to speak to your son or your daughter and pay extra attention to your granddaughter and your niece and your nephew and begin to speak the word of the Lord, because you've got a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, so you know what to continue and you know what to change. That's the blessing of the kingdom of God. But I want to talk to you for just a few minutes today from the subject built for this, built for this, built for this. You're built for this. You are built for this. You really are. And I want to just elucidate this with one scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. It simply says this: be on the alert. Be on the alert. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. And then the next verse says, all that you do must be done in love. All that you do must be done in love. When you just go back to the first part of that, be on the alert, be on the alert. That's another buzzword for saying be aware. Don't be at ease in Zion. Be sensitive. Be sober. Be vigilant. Can you imagine that how we as parents and grandparents have to be alert in these days for dangers that were not lurking in the outskirts the way that they are lurking today? We have to be alert not for stuff that's outside of the house, but stuff that's sneaking in the house through an underground pipeline, bringing filth and pornography and the dark web, right, without your even having to go outside. It's being piped in. And so you have to be on the alert, because your child is in their room. You don't know who is in their room talking to them and communicating with them. The Bible says be on the alert. Don't you assume that because they're in their room quiet, because they have this particular Bible app on their phone, that they're reading the Bible all of that time. The Bible says be on the alert. When you have the Holy Spirit, there's a sign on the inside. Any mamas know what I'm talking about? When When you have no sign and they're telling you one thing with their mouth, but something on the inside, down in your gut, in your spirit man, out of the innermost part of that being, it's telling you something else. The Holy Spirit in your prayer time will start alerting you to particular dangers that are lurking out there. It knows when there's an accident waiting for you to happen, and the Holy Spirit might just delay you. And that's why you don't fight with God. You don't take your time, chill out. Hurry is of the devil. I want you to understand, God is never ever in a hurry. He's building something with greatness, and you don't build greatness by rushing. Do you ever realize that the Bible never talks about God running anywhere? They got upset with Jesus. Mary and Martha said, you know, had you been here, had you hurried up, my brother wouldn't have died. But the Lord is never in a hurry. You walk with God, you don't run with him. And here's a little nugget for you. You cannot walk with God and run with devils. The scriptures is just reminding us, be on the alert. Be on the alert, because there's a lot of danger in the world. There's a lot of deception that's in the world. There are a lot of false narratives that are there. There are a lot of deceptive agendas that are not in line with the Holy Scriptures of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why you need somebody. You always want to be able to have somebody that has hair that is either turned gray or turned loose. You want to keep them around, because they are like landmarks, and they know they've lived through, they've seen scams. The old people would tell you, don't take no wooden nickels. Don't let anybody pull the wool over your eyes. You see, they're on the alert. They are banking scams now. You know, they don't have to put a gun to your side now in order to get your money. They've got sneaky kinds of things where they can send stuff digitally now. The thieves are educated. So the scriptures are reminding us, be on the alert, be on the alert. You're built for this. You're built for this. I know that these are tedious times where the secular world is so polarized, and they're at war with each other and scheming and disrespectful, and everybody is venting and spewing all kinds of things. The Bible is saying, be on the alert. Be on the alert. Don't get distracted by what the devil is doing. Keep your focus on what God is doing. Be on the alert. The word focus literally means fireplace. And whenever you lose your focus, you lose your fire. If you've lost your fire, it's because you're focusing in on the wrong voices. You're focusing in on the wrong stuff that's happening around you. You know, this is why Scripture reminds us in Psalms chapter 11 and verse 3 that if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? That even if you're righteous, but if your foundations are destroyed, decayed, messed up. That's why I love even the name of this church, Church on the Rock. That's not shifty. A rock speaks of stability. If the rock was there yesterday, it'll be here today. And if it's here today, it'll be there tomorrow. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That rock that followed them in the wilderness, that rock was Christ. It spoke of the stability of his character, the dependability of his word that never fails, not one jot, not one tittle, until all of it be fulfilled. It speaks of the rock. And the rock is what we build on, not things that are shifting and changing with the times. Just because something is legal doesn't mean that it is moral. And so that's why you have to always go back to the book and see, is this built on the rock? Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, he was talking about the rock of the revelation that Peter had just spoken about. Upon this rock, this is a bedrock. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's the rock. We build on the rock. I love church on the rock. There's a stability here that is saying that this is built on uncompromising principle, that these are non-negotiables. There are certain things that you change and certain things that you never, ever change. Policies are many, principles are few. Policies often change, principles never do. When you get the principles of the Word of God, when you get the foundations You know that 99% of your decisions are already made when you live by principle, the principles of God's word? Thank God for a church like Church on the Rock that for 40 years has been building steadily and is still here, still growing, still innovating, still reaching people, still loving people, still serving people, still connecting people. What a blessing it is to be in a place that is established on the rock. Hallelujah. You don't know what a blessing that is. So be on the alert, be on the alert, be on the alert. That's the next part of that thing says, stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. It bothers me when I see some people that started off in the faith, but they didn't stand firm in it. And they have drifted. And that's why you have to be careful about who you allow into your world. Because whoever you allow to walk with you will influence both your pace and your drift. And when your children appear to have changed in life, maybe it's because they're walking with somebody that was headed in a different direction. So when you walk with people, when you invite somebody to walk with you, or when you join somebody in their walk, birds of a feather not only fly together, they also fly to the same destination. And you better make sure that whoever you choose to walk with, that they are not slowing your pace down. If anything, that they're accelerating your pace and helping you to be able to get there in a faster way. I mean, when Pastor David met Pastor Kim, see, she calibrated his walk. But she empowered him. The same way that my wife calibrated my walk and empowers me, you need somebody that can walk with you and build. You can't build in a hurry. When you build a sure foundation, it takes time. Not just quality time, but also quantity time. Children need quantity time because a child, the way that they spell love is not a new Apple phone. It's not a new video game. Children spell love T-I-M-E. 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 I'm so glad that when God spells his love for us, he says, lo, I am with you now and even until the ends of the world. That I don't care what you go through. I don't care how hard it gets. I don't care how dark the night is, how steep the climb up the mountain is. God says, I am with you. I'm with you and I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. Be on the alert, he's saying. Be on the alert. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. In the faith. In the faith. That's why you have to be able to understand what you believe and why you believe. It's very important to have what we call the orthodoxy. It is the doctrine of Scripture. That's what helps us to grow as we establish in Christ. It's important for our discipleship. Now, we don't preach the orthodoxy to unsaved people. We preach the evangelio, the gospel to them. There's a difference. You preach the gospel, but you teach the doctrine. Because the doctrine grounds you. The doctrine grounds you and grows you up in the character of Christ. So that's why you need the orthodoxy, which then empowers your orthopraxis, which is the walking out of the doctrine in the culture that you've learned from the Scriptures. So when he tells us, be on the alert, stand firm in the orthodoxy, in the doctrine of the Scripture, in the faith, you have to know what you believe and why you believe it. Because when you get in a real pickle, that's not the time to go to war with some weapon that is not proven. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. And then this New American Standard version of the Bible, it says, act like men. That this is not to be sexist. This speaks of maturity. What separates men from boys is one word, responsibility. Be responsible. Be responsible. Don't be naive. He said that in malice, be like children, but in understanding, be like men. He said, whether you're a man or woman, he says, be mature. Be a person of discernment, understanding. Discernment, understanding. When you are mature, you're not naive. You recognize things for what they are. So he's saying, be mature. Be responsible. Why be responsible? So that if you've done something wrong, that you know how to own it. Because if I don't own it, I cannot disown it. When you get an AA, they want you to own the fact that I'm an alcoholic. Because if you don't own it, you cannot disown it. If you get caught with a bag of weed, if you don't own it, you cannot disown it. You have to say, Lord, take this away from me. How is he going to take something away from you that you will never own that you had? So you have to own it. And see, when you are mature, when the prophet Nathan came to David, and he looked at him and he said, thou art the man. And David's heart broke. Woe is me. He said, it's me. I'm guilty, God. He owned it. And when he owned it, he was able to then disown it. And God didn't let what was a temporary mistake derail his destiny. Aren't you glad that the mercy of God, when you've made bad choices and bad decisions, that God didn't just cast you aside? But his grace empowered you and strengthened you. And then he used what the devil brought into your life as a weakness. And God says, I'm going to use that now to win other people that have that same weakness. And you'll bring them into the strength of Christ. Because notice, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be mature. Own it. Be discerning. Be understanding. But then he says, be strong. He's telling grown folks, be strong. He's telling every child of God, be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. He's not saying be strong in your own strength, in your own ability, in your own skill, in your own knowledge. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord, for when we are weak, then he is strong. So there's a strength that comes from God and just our owning it. Be strong, be strong. He's saying, be strong. You got a difficult task. God says, be strong, not in yourself, not in your past history. Be strong in the Lord. It is saying, Lord, when I say, Lord, I'm weak, now I qualify for his strength. Because God says, my strength is made perfect through your weakness. So the moment that we declare that, Lord, I'm weak here, I'm weak. I had one lady to tell me, she said, Lord, put your arms around my shoulders and put your hand over my mouth, because she was about to kill her husband. She was about to yield to temptation, so she said, Lord, hold me, Jesus. Put your arm around my shoulder and put your hand over my mouth, because I'm getting ready to do some serious damage. Her weakness, and see, listen, it doesn't take strength to give people a piece of your mind. It takes strength to hold your tongue. Wisdom is knowing what not to say. When you got a temptation to really just let it rip to the degree you want them to feel the sting of what you have to say, but it takes the restraint of the Holy Spirit. When you see people that are able to restrain the tongue because they've yielded it to the Holy Spirit, that's not a sign of weakness, that's a sign of great strength. Great strength. Weak people have diarrhea at the mouth. They let it rip. They will read you up the front and down the back. It's easy to do that. That's what the flesh does. But when Jesus was accused, he opened not his mouth. He said not a mumbling word. Can you imagine the strength when you are innocent and someone is accusing you of something, and for you to not even become the defender of yourself, because God becomes the defender of those who refuse to defend themselves. So when he just tells us, be on the alert, be aware, be sober, be vigilant, because your enemy, your adversary, the devil, he's going like a roaring lion, to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. Which means this: the devil cannot devour everybody. He can only devour people that have opened a door to him, a portal. So he's looking for people whose gates are open, whose guards are down. He can't get everybody because there are people that when they wake up in the morning, they clothe themselves in the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the loins girt about the truth, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. They got the shield. They got the sword. He understands that. He's looking for people who have forgotten to plead the blood that day, seeking whom he may devour. And so we're standing with him. So he's saying, be sober, be vigilant, stand on alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be mature, and be strong, not in yourself, not in your knowledge, not in your wisdom, not in your understanding, not through your experiences and your skill. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he tells us, in all that you do, it must be done in love. All that you do, it must be done in love. Listen, when you're talking about legacy, this is not about just the current generation. This is about our children and our grandchildren. This is about other people's children who are coming into the world, and they need an uncompromising church that knows Jesus, but yet, my God, you can come in and have so much fun. I mean, it's a sin for the world to be able to have more fun than the people of God. I mean, Jesus is the joy of our salvation. And the joy of the Lord is your, he says, be strong. Be strong, be strong. One version says it this way, that joy is the evidence that you've got strength. When you know you can handle that, it's like, joy, joy, joy. Listen, here's what I tell you. The wonderful thing about legacy. Legacy has lived life and has made mistakes, and you've learned great wisdom through the mistakes that we made, because your failures will teach you much more than your successes ever will. And here's what I say to parents. Don't give your children what you never had and what you could never afford when you were a child. Teach them what you never knew. Teach them what you wish you had known. Don't give them what you didn't have. Teach them what you didn't know. Because if you got the knowledge, you can get the stuff. I'm a baby that was born from a fourth quarter daddy. My daddy was 50 years old when I was born. And he didn't stop there. He had my younger brother when he was 55. Then he had my baby brother when he was 60. And the wisdom of God that is in my life today is because I had a daddy that was born in the fourth quarter. And I'm telling you, 22-year-old daddies couldn't compare with my daddy when I'm there. And you know, and every time my daddy would come up to my school, his hair was the same color of Pastor David's and mine. And they would all, the first question that would come out of their mouth, they would say, man, that's your daddy, your granddaddy. They said, man, that's your granddaddy. No, that was my daddy. But this scripture became a favorite of mine in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He that walks with wise men shall become wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. My goodness, and my life was blessed. My daddy didn't give me what he never had. He taught me what he never knew. It made a difference. He didn't even ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? Here's the question that daddy posed. What problems do you want to solve? And then he centered my education, my experience, and my exposure around being able to solve that problem. Can you imagine? Because it takes a heap of living in a house to make it a home. A heap of it. And people can barely now stay together for 40 weeks. And to do something for 40 years? But my God, we're in the fourth quarter now. That's where the games are won in the fourth quarter. This is one of the most exciting times. That's not the time that you get sleepy. I mean, when God is up to something, and then when the devil is doing his bidding, and it looks like every time now we're hearing wars and rumors of wars, and and we're finding divisions and separations and famine and pestilence and plagues and pandemics and all of this stuff, that's not the time to get sleepy and say, you know what, I'm going to go into bed and I'll read about it in the morning. No, you're in the fourth quarter. And it's tight. You don't know which way it's going to go. And I know you got to go to work the next morning. But when you're in the fourth quarter and it looks like it's going neck and neck, and any one major deal here can end the game, and we realize that he set us up to be in the fourth quarter, standing on the brink of legacy, filled with more wisdom and more resources and more energy and more strength and more commitment and more faithfulness than we have ever had all of the days of our life. We've got more love in our hearts now because we've been through some stuff and he's brought us through some stuff. And I'm just here to remind you today, there's a little scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25. And it simply says this, that your sandals shall be iron and bronze. Let me translate that to you, give you the broader version, the modern English broader version. God is saying, I will give you hard shoes for a hard road. But then notice this latter part, as your days, so shall be your strength. It is God saying that even if you're in your fourth quarter, as your days go, so shall be your strength. I'm in my fourth quarter, but as my days go, so shall be my strength. God is saying, I will give you the strength to be able to do the demands, to meet the demands of whatever you find in every day in your fourth quarter. You may not know where you're going to get the energy from, the strength from. It's like, oh, Lord, not again. But God says that so as your days, the demands of your days, so shall be your strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might as your days go. Because sometimes if you're trying to do this thing without him, you will faint in your own strength. But as your days, when your life is submitted under the hand of God, and though you may be in your fourth quarter, God will give you an energy. He'll give you a vision. He'll give you, I'm just telling you, you'll write your best work in your fourth quarter. I'm just telling you, there are books that are in you. There are plays that are in you. There's music on the inside of you. You write your best music in your fourth quarter. Didn't you hear, Brother Dave Huff? My God, I'm just telling you, it's in the fourth quarter, and this is not the time to quit. This is the time to set yourself up for legacy, to say, God, that whatever you're doing in my life, as the days go, so shall be my strength. As the days go, so shall be my strength. As the days go, so shall be my strength. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.